Greetings to each one this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to see each one here this morning. Have to admit, I got out the directory to see who all was here, and I know a little bit more, a few more people than I expected to see here this morning. So it's good to be here this morning. Bring greetings from the brethren at home. It's almost too close to come to visit, so we welcome you to come. This morning, I share a message with you that I shared at home last Sunday. I don't want it to feel like a microwaved message. I don't think it is. I think it's a message from God that each of us are called to. Neither am I thinking that the brethren over here at Calvary needs to hear this message in a particular way. It's one for each of us. It's God's word, and I think if we all do well to be open to the word of God. Recently, I looked up the verses in the Bible which said, "Take heed." I first thought I would make a message out of it, and I would start at Genesis, and I'd work to Revelations. Well, there's no way to cover that in one message. So I condensed it down to the New Testament, and there's still a lot more take heeds in the New Testament than what we can cover in a morning. So this morning I want to look at where Jesus specifically told his disciples to take heed in the four Gospels. And there's still more than what we can turn to this morning, but I want to read all of them. You can follow along with me if you desire, but it's going to be up to you. Webster gives them definition of heed as to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, attend to, or to observe. The Strong's Concordance gives it as the phrase "take heed" as to hold the mind towards, pay attention to, be cautious about, apply oneself to, or we could say beware, or to give heed to, have regard towards. This morning, as I look through them, I'm not looking through them in the way that I feel of that this is an order of importance, but it's also hard to start with Matthew and work the way through, because Jesus, each writer give the words of Jesus in a little different way, and they overlap each other. The first one I want to turn to this morning is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." This morning, I don't question that you do alms here this morning. I don't question that at all. I think all of God's people do. But why do you think Jesus said to take heed that we don't do them to be seen of men? Isn't that our natural tendency? It seems that let's go on and read the next few verses there. "Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Brethren and sisters, this morning I think we, all of us here, we do our alms. Notice it doesn't say give our alms, it says do them. I don't know what other translations say. We do them because we have the love of God in our heart. And I think the alms is, I think we're clear on that. It's over and above the Old Testament 10%. Alms can be our work. the way we relate, help the needy, or the way we can reach out to others. We have Christian Aid Ministries that we can work through. We have our various ways that we can reach out to those who are in need, those who are hurting. We can help the poor widow lady down the street with things that she cannot accomplish. We do that because we have the love of God in our heart, not to be seen of men. We can also go to work with Kim for a week or two because we want to make a show of it. And I don't think that's anyone's here desire of that. Or we could put a big article in the paper when we go to help the poor widow lady down the street. We would have our reward if we would do that. But if we stop in with a loaf of bread, if we stop in and clean up her yard or whatever, because we have the love of God in our heart, then God will bless us for it, and the lady will be blessed also. Jesus also said in Mark 4:24, says, He saith unto them, take heed. Next to you, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. The next one. Luke 8, verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So here Jesus is saying to take heed how we hear. A companion verse for that is Mark 4:24. He saith unto them, take heed that what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Take heed what we hear. I don't know if you have any deaf individuals here in the congregation this morning. I don't know you that good. But most of us are here this morning because we can hear. Take heed how we hear. It's been said that there's three parts to a conversation. There might be more than that. I'm not the brightest when it comes to breaking down those things. It's one is what is meant to be said. The other is what is said. And the other part is what was heard. Or what was understood. This morning we know the Word of God is spoken by, as what we're reading here this morning, is spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said what was meant to be said. It's all established in our minds this morning. The problem could come in is what we hear. And Jesus told us to take heed what we hear this morning. In Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, he gives us a little more insight here. Luke chapter 8, 5 through 8, it gives the parable of the sower. Some of the seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air, the birds came and took it. Some fell on rocks. I don't know how many farmers we got here this morning. We know that real rocky ground, it's hard for it to hold moisture. Some fell among the thorns or in the briar patches, and it come up, but it was choked. But others fell on the good ground, and the seed brought forth much fruit. Then he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Then he goes on, the disciples wanted to know, to understand the parable, and he explained it to them. Then he finished explaining it, to take heed therefore how ye hear. Because of the way we hear affects the way we bring forth fruit in our lives. And I think all of us this morning want to be fruitful Christians. We want the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ to show in our hearts. We want to bring forth fruit for our Savior. We want our lives to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. I think that's each of our desire. So this morning, we must take heed what we hear. In order to hear, we must expose ourselves to the Word of God. That could be a message in itself of the study of the Word of God and exposing ourselves to God's Word. Number three, found in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And then it goes on to say that they reasoned among themselves because they forgot to take some food along. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Companion verse, Mark 8, verse 15, and he charged them, saying, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." When Jesus spoke in the New Testament to take heed, it was pointed to me, telling me to take heed of myself. The few times he said to beware was of others out there. And brothers and sisters, this morning I think it should be in that order. First of all, we give heed to ourselves, and then we can beware of others. But most of our taking heed needs to be looking at my own heart. We're all prone to wonder. So what was Jesus saying here? Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 11, he says, when he called them, verse 8, "O little faith." Then verse 11, he says, "How is it that you understand, that you do not understand that I speak it of not of concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood how that he bade them to beware of the leaven of, not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This morning I don't plan to go in a whole lot on the doctrine of their doctrine. But we know today that there is false doctrine around us today. We face it today, and we must take heed to ourselves and beware to the false doctrine. He's saying to be careful of others. To beware is to be careful. Be careful what we hear. Be careful that we are not swept away. But take heed to yourself. We know in Jesus' time how it was a little bit. Those of you who studied this doctrine, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were strict in their performance, in their rituals, in their worship. They enlarged, Jesus drew the attention how they enlarged the hem of their garments to make a show. There was a very rigid doctrine that led to performance instead of their Savior. Studied a little bit on the doctrine of Herod. He had some kind of worship also. It was a feel-good worship. Somewhere in between these two extremes, Jesus' disciples was to find a fulfilling worship. That's where we are today. We find ourselves today. We have false doctrine pulling us one way. We have false doctrine pulling us the other way. Let's take heed and beware that our worship is to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Each of these take heed. This could be a message in themselves. So I'm going to keep moving along. Number four. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." A little bit what was referred to the last time. But yet this was a different take heed. These are relating to the end of time. Mark 13:5, Jesus answering said and began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you." Luke 21, verse 8, he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." As I mentioned, The take heed that Jesus said was pointed to myself. This morning, it's my responsibility to take heed to myself that I'm not deceived. That's your responsibility. Take heed to yourself that no man deceive you. I know no better way to take heed to myself than that I'm not deceived than to know the truth. And where do we find the truth? It's not so much in what I'm saying here this morning, but is it in the Word of God? Do we have God's, are we familiar with God's Word? We'll look a little bit more at the truth a little bit later. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Jesus said some more take heeds of the end time. Matthew 13, 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and in synagogues. Ye shall be beaten, ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for the testimony against them. Mark 13, 23, but take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. These are all speaking about the end of time. Luke 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Surfeiting here would mean overindulgence, as in eating. It could apply it to other areas of life. I think we all agree here this morning that we live in the end times. The question is, are we prepared to live in the end times? Are we prepared that we won't be deceived, that we won't fall out by the way, but that we will be watching and waiting when Jesus comes? That when he returns, we will recognize him and we will be ready for him. You know the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' time? They had the whole Old Testament prophecies. They had all of them there that described Jesus Christ, but they missed him. It is possible for us to study the New Testament this morning and read about the end times, but not be prepared when he comes again. How sad that would be. An example of that. I read Mark 13, verse 9, where it says about to take heed to yourselves. No, I'm sorry. The verse I wanted was Matthew 24, verse 4. It says, take heed that no man deceive you. Let's turn back to Matthew again. He gives some interesting parables in Matthew there after he told them to take heed. We go on and read through the rest of the book, chapter of Matthew. We won't take time to do that. Two chapters here that we want to cover. He told them parable after parable of end time prophecies. Matthew 25, he goes on and he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto the 10 virgins which took oil in their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. We know the story. Some of them were wise and some were foolish. Our brother this morning mentioned about the fuel to get us going. Some of them took extra fuel along and they were ready when the bridegroom came. But those that didn't have the extra fuel for their lamps was not ready. Are we prepared to live in the end times? I was blessed recently. Some of you may have read the article on these 10 virgins. 5 were ready and 5 were not ready. And the brother that wrote that article, he mentioned about the 5 that weren't ready weren't prepared for the wait. That's like the challenge I want to leave with each of us this morning. Are we prepared for the wait? We all agree. All the Christians down through the time since Christ went to glory, back to glory, we all agree that we live in the end times. And we all look and we all long for when he comes again. And that's okay. I think we should be. We should just long to go home with him in glory, be with our Lord and Savior. But what if he tarries another 100 years? Another 200 years? Are we prepared for the wait? Do we have the oil and the extra fuel in our along that our lamps will still be burning? That we'll still be ready to go in with Him? Leave that challenge with us. Take heed to ourselves that we are ready when He comes, whether it's today. And I'm saying this, are we prepared for the wait? I do not want to live in any way give the thought that Jesus will not come today. He may. He may come before this service is over. Praise the Lord if He does. But He may tarry a while longer. Are we prepared to wait? Jesus said that even Himself does not know when that time is, but only the Father. Let's be ready when He comes again. Luke chapter 11, verse 35. The fifth, beware, or take heed. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Verse 34 says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But when thine eye be evil, the whole body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. This verse could go along with the ones that we read about take heed how we hear. Brethren and sisters, this morning, what light do we have inside of us? It says to take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. I don't know much about lights. There's a black light. I don't know exactly what all that is. But what light is shining inside of us this morning? How can a light be dark? I pondered over that. And I'm not sure that I have all the answer what all this verse is meaning this morning. But evidently there's a light that can be dark inside of us. Brethren and sisters, this morning, if Jesus Christ is that light, I think there's no darkness in us. If our life is totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and He's living in our hearts, there's no darkness within us. Jesus said that you are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you're a Christian this morning, it will show. Your light will shine forth. I'm convinced it will. Your neighbors will know it. Your family will know it. Everyone that sees you will know it. But what is that darkness? Don't you think again? It is another way of saying to not be deceived. Do not have your own agenda. Don't follow your own spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in our life, our body will be full of light. We will know the next step to take. We will know what is right and what is wrong. We will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. I'm not saying that we will know the next step to take, that we don't have to search and knock. But when that time comes to take the next step, if we're living with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will know that step. I think we can have that confidence. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, the next take heed. Take heed. Let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Who are these little ones? Jesus says to take heed that we don't despise them. This morning I take it to mean the new in the faith. But I don't think we're doing injustice to the Scriptures to say it's our little children either. Take heed that we don't despise them. God takes it seriously when we cause a little one to stumble and fall. Read verse 6 just before this. It says, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the sea." Brothers and sisters, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong statement. It is better for me that I were out of the way rather than to cause a little one to stumble and fall. Rather to cause one of our children that is here amongst us this morning to go astray. Whether that child is a little innocent one sitting on your lap that is growing towards the age of accountability, or whether it's a new person that just recently found the faith, and I cause him to be offended and to stumble and leave the truth. Jesus cares so much for his children. If we would look on down through, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Then it says, gives the parable of the shepherd that had 100 sheep out there in the wilderness, and one went astray. And he went and he searched until he found it and brought it home. Our Father in heaven cares for his sheep. He was willing to send his only Son for our sins. That's my sins, and that's your sins. He cares for you. He cares for each of us. Number 7, found in Luke chapter 17. we could liken it along with the last one, but I thought I'd look at it separate. Luke 17, verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." So what is he saying here this morning? Is he saying to take heed that be careful with your brother, he's going to trespass against you? Or is he saying take heed to yourself because in the verse before it says that it is impossible but that offenses will come. So take heed to yourself, your brother might trespass against you, but make sure that you forgive him. I think that's what he's saying. It's not so much that if I am wronged, the more important thing is, do I forgive? Take heed to yourself that you forgive. Jesus' disciples said, well, it's verse 4 says, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day return again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And brothers and sisters, this morning, if you're living with somebody like that, 7 times in a day they have to come back and apologize, you know it takes the grace of God to forgive. The disciples said in verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. It takes faith to forgive. It takes faith to lay an offense aside and forgive. It takes the grace of God. In Matthew 6:12, it's so important that we do that. Matthew 6:12 says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Take heed to ourselves, brethren. If we're offended, if we're wrong, let's forgive. Let's forgive, because that's how our Father in heaven will forgive us. Make it your daily prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a good model prayer for you to follow. There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer daily. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Am I willing to accept my Heavenly Father's forgiveness the same way that I forgive my fellow man, whoever he is? Brethren and sisters, it is impossible this morning, but that we will have opportunity to forgive. Offenses will come. we will have opportunity to forgive. Number 8, Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Take heed, and beware of covetousness. Do we need that warning this morning? I do. And I think it is common to man to be tempted with covetousness. It is common to man to covet. It's a temptation. It is common to us. Take heed and beware of it. Covetousness will keep us from heaven. It'll keep us out of glory. Because our worship is in the wrong direction. Our treasure is at the wrong place if we find ourselves coveting. Webster says, Coveted is marked by an inordinate desire for wealth or possession, for another's possession, having a craving for or a passion. A synonym would be greedy and grasping. So maybe not just that I covet what you have, which is normally the way I look at it, but is it that I covet something out there and I'm going to do what it takes to get there. Beware of that drive. Beware of the drive for wealth. Wealth is not wrong in itself. The Lord blesses us, but beware of the drive to be rich. Beware of having our heart set on our possessions and the greed of gain. Covetousness is a heart issue. It's hard for my brother to help me to overcome it. It is something that I have to deal with. My brother can raise his concerns about it. He can draw my attention to it. But it is in the heart between me and God. Take heed to myself and beware. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20, in closing. The parable of and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Where is our hearts this morning? Is it in our personal kingdom or is it in the kingdom of God? Let's take heed to ourselves. Let's be diligent. Let's be alert in our Christian life. Let's serve God with our whole heart. Let's have our focus centered on Him, that when He comes again, we'll be ready. Let's stand for closing prayer.